Hi, good evening, everyone. I'm Bangs is what they call me. I'm Amanda H. from Illinois, but my recovery name is Bangs, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Hey! I've been in OA since 2021, and I am working on 15 months of abstinence, continuous. Wow. Thanks. Since coming in, I've released about 70 pounds, but it hasn't been a nice straight journey. My journey has included many steps forward and some steps back and one complete fall on my face, which taught me a lot about addiction and myself. And it gave me the nickname Bang. So let me start off by telling you that story. I was in the addiction. I had put on 20 pounds in 2 months, and I didn't feel good about myself. And so as a woman, when I don't feel good about myself, I cut my hair. And my whole life, I had a thing with my forehead. My mom told me that I always had to have bangs because my forehead was too big. And I had long, straight, long hair, and I was really desperate to feel better about myself by giving myself bangs. What I found out was that I wasn't just feeling fat, but now I felt fat with bangs. So I found a way. And now my nickname is Bangs. So I grew up impoverished, living in subsidized housing with a broken home. There have been many studies that have been done linking poverty to obesity, and I believe in that. My entire family was obese. Although I knew I was different from many of my schoolmates, comfort was found in my home with my family because we didn't talk about our sizes there. Food was my source of comfort from an early age until I was able to replace it with alcohol. A series of bad choices revolving around my drinking led me to 2 failed marriages, a single parent of 3, and trying to cope with sexual and emotional abuse. Until I heard someone else's survival story of rape, which started the domino effect of me being in this room today. Once I put down my alcoholic drinks, I was able to take a more honest and clear look at my life and find comfort elsewhere, back in my childhood roots, the food that was always there for me. And it wasn't until I hit my top weight of 270 pounds and didn't like how I looked in my selfies that I became willing to go to any length. Come for the vanity, stay for the sanity, they say. Well, today I'm here to talk about the spiritual discipline of perseverance, which is from step 10, which says, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Someone said the meaning of perseverance is to make the choice that progresses you towards your ideals in the face of adversity. To make the choice. Perseverance is an action word. To make a choice which will progress you to your goal is an action. By the time we really focus on this spiritual principle, we've already worked 9 steps in spiritual principles. And listen, taking 9 steps in my disease, quite frankly, left me breathless, especially when they were in an incline. But here, we're not done yet. Perseverance means we take action to continue on. Steps 10 through 12 are a continuous, never-ending journey, which will constantly reveal more to us. What's cool is perseverance is something we all have already, unlike patience. The key is tapping into it. Think about it. Perseverance is present in our lives every time we go to learn something more, right? We learn to ride a bike as a child. We don't get it the first time. We persevere through the hardship. Perhaps a parent is holding on to the back of us, steadying us while we learn. In school, we may learn a foreign language. It's not easy to learn another language. We persevere. Tuesdays, when I play pickleball, I persevere trying to learn how to play better. Knitting or crocheting, learning a new job. When it's tough and we face adversity, we make a choice to persevere. Or we quit. But we all know about quitting, right? We've quit a lot of things in life. It's a lot of times recovery. But how do we practice perseverance when it comes to our recovery? Well, I'm going to share four tips that are working for me to practice perseverance. Number one, we must have an ideal or a goal. In recovery, when we work through the steps, we talk about forming our new ideals in life. I didn't even know what that word meant, but I get it today. We need a way to live. We need a new goal. If we don't have a clear vision of why we're in this program and working these steps, we're going to buckle under the first sign of adversity. Because, listen, ladies, vanity is only going to last so long. You know, I didn't like how I looked in selfies. But at the end of the day, I didn't like how I looked in selfies because I looked how I felt. And our why needs to be greater than the vanity. And in case you want a refresher, let me remind you, we're fighting a life and death disease. Our disease may not cause death as instantly or quickly as a relapsing alcoholic or drug addict. I just lost a good friend of mine into alcoholism, 44 years old. But our death, it's prolonged and it's miserable. Make no mistake, this disease left untreated is terminal. Our treatment plan is laid out in the big book. All of it. Our treatment is laid out in the big book, the 12 steps. Let me ask you, what is your why? Think about it. What is your why? Why are you here? Why do you want to lose the weight? And that's a question I want to leave with you. And then I want to implore you to take it further and go deeper. I want to lose weight because I want to look good on Facebook. I mean, that's where I was, right? I want to look good on Facebook. I want people to think I look good. That's sick. It has to be deeper. Why do I want to look good on Facebook? Because I want approval. Why do I want approval? Because I didn't get that as a kid. There's a deeper issue, and our why has to be deeper. I want to feel confident and filled with self-worth. Go deeper. Be like a child and continue to ask, yeah, but why? Yeah, but why? And keep taking it deeper to find what is your why for parking your behind in this chair right now. You are going to need a compelling vision. I need a compelling vision to hold on to my abstinence in the face of adversity. And vanity is not going to be compelling enough. Number two, accountability. We all need our we to help us. This isn't a program of isolation. We cannot do it alone. If we could, we'd have done it because we're all isolators. When we're isolating, that's our disease. Accountability to me means doing my daily inventory and sending that to my sponsor. Guess what? You don't have to wait until you're at step 10 to do that. You can start that today. Why pack up more in your bags while you're waiting to unpack them in your fourth, fifth? Why not get rid of it? It means sending my food plan before I eat the food. So if there's something off, my sponsor can say something. It means showing up when I say I'm going to show up. And I'm telling you, I thought all day yesterday. I'm not doing this tonight. I do not want to do this. I should tell Gene or Amy. I think you got the wrong person. I know I volunteered, but I think I made a mistake. But you know what? I agreed to do it, so here I am. It's serving when I've committed, and it requires willingness. No one can be held accountable if they don't want to be. And I really, for the sponsors out there, really want you to hear that. Because sometimes as sponsors, we can be so busy trying to fix other people, we forget that's not healthy. And we try to hold our sponsees accountable to things that they don't want to be accountable for. That was the worst sponsee. I mean, I don't even know why she didn't fire me 100 times, but I probably would have. Bless her. Number three, structure. Structure. And funny, someone, I think at dinner, brought this up today. When I plan, when I fail to plan, fill it in. I plan to fail. Practicing perseverance means I have a structured food plan. Flute or food? I have a plan that involves the things I eat, which includes what I will eat, how much I'm going to eat, and even about what time of day I'm going to eat. Why is that important? Because my disease is going to convince me that I can change it last minute, that I don't have enough food because I exercise, which, by the way, that didn't happen. Haven't got there yet in my plan. It's going to convince me of lies that's going to take me back out into the food. Did you guys see the sign in the dining room that said something about if you come back for a second trip, use a plate? Right, Diane? I was like, I'm a food addict. Is this a buffet? Like, it made me think, like, with a structured plan, I don't get to go back for seconds. This is my food. This is what's on my plate. This is what I said I'm going to do. So this is what I'm going to do. Structured food plan doesn't allow multiple trips because I'm a compulsive overeater. I'll eat it all. My disease is in anarchy without structure. Like, it just runs amok. Number four, consistency. Perseverance means consistently working a program. That means finding and committing to attending and participating in regular OA meetings. Because why? Why is it important not just to show up? Why is it important to participate? Because if you've been there once, you're not the newcomer anymore. And you have something that somebody else walking in the door doesn't have. And that's 1 week of experience, if that's all it is. And they need to hear you. Why else? Because people need to know when we're gone. And if we show up on Zoom without our camera on week after week and don't participate, nobody's going to miss us when we're in the food. And we want to have people reach out to us. It needs to be noticed. Consistency means having a daily routine, which involves using the tools of OA. One of those tools, phone calls. Isn't that phone heavy? It is if you don't ever use it. It's a pretty scary deal, right? But if you call people when you're feeling okay, you'll be more likely to call them when you're not. So get a list together. How many people are in this room? 100 people? Get phone numbers of at least 10 of them and call them one a day. If you don't, you won't when it's hard. And guess what? You may be bringing them back into the room by calling them and checking on them, because people don't call. You'd be surprised. Craig Sager. Anyone know Craig Sager? No, I didn't either, but look it up. He was an American sports reporter until his death in 2016. In 2014, he was diagnosed with leukemia. He fought hard, persevering through 3 different bone marrow transplants. This guy wanted to live. Anybody else in this room want to live? In his final public appearance in 2016, before he died, he accepted the Jimmy V. Perseverance Award. In his acceptance speech, he was quoted as saying, "What is time really? When you are diagnosed with a terminal disease like cancer or leukemia, your perception of time changes." Think about that for a minute. If you know you're gonna die in 1 week, what are you gonna do this week that's different? Are you gonna fight to try to live past that week? Because it might be all we have in our addiction. Time changes when you have a death sentence. And friends, we have a death sentence. He goes on to say, "Time is something that cannot be bought. It cannot be wagered with God, and it is not an endless supply. Time is simply how you live your life. You don't get to bargain your time. You don't get to say, 'I don't have time to prep my food. I don't have time to do a 10-step. I don't have time to sponsor. I don't have time to be sponsored, to call my sponsor, to call my fellows, to go to meetings.'" Guess what? Meeting makers make it. You want to make it? Show up in your meetings. You're going to make it. But you don't get to say that, because even if you have 3 jobs and you're a single mom with 5 kids, we all have the same amount of time every day. Time is the same for each and every single one of us, but how we use it is what matters. And once this moment is gone, it's gone. Like, gone. You never get it back. You can't buy it back. You can't do anything to get that moment back. If you want sobriety, you have to be willing to prioritize your recovery above everything else, because guess what, caretakers? We can't take care of anyone if we don't put on our own oxygen mask first. We are just not good for anyone until we're cared for. Finally, Craig ends his speech by saying, "If I have learned anything through all of this, is that each and every day is a canvas waiting to be painted, an opportunity for love, for fun, for living, and for learning." Craig Sager, although I didn't know him when he was alive, he exhibited perseverance. And he showed us in his illness what we can do in ours. How we use our time matters. Let's persevere. With that, I'll pass.